Good afternoon. Bill Brady on the Pulse of Arizona, 1100 KFNX. It is a Tuesday afternoon. We have been doing our election 2022 coverage now for the last 6 weeks or so, interviewing the candidates for the major statewide offices as well as the federal offices. We have been doing it as a public service. I'm going to tell a brief story here. I was married to a wonderful woman for a very long time. In fact, I consider myself still to be married to her. Unfortunately, she passed away almost 5 years ago. And in 2015, she showed up at my door and said, I need you to change my voter registration. Now, she'd been a lifelong Democrat, and I thought, okay, here we go, another independent. Instead, she said, I want to vote for Trump. And I registered her for that. She enthusiastically followed his campaign. But when we were going into the polling place that day, she was looking at a voter guide, and she said, I got to tell you, she said, I watch television. I watch the news every night. She said, I am Mrs. Noon 6 and 11, which is when the newscasts take place on the East Coast. And she said, I do that. I read the paper. I listen to the radio. She said, who the hell are these candidates? And she said, yeah. She said, I know the federal ones and that. But she said, people need to know who their state representatives and state senators are. And they need to know in Florida you have an agricultural commissioner who, for some inexplicable reason, oversees weights and measures and gas pumps and stuff like that. But that's Florida. But she said to me, she said, when we get back to Arizona and we buy a radio station, she said, this is something we're going to do. So we did it in 2020, but that was a much smaller election year. We're, at least on the local level, it was state offices and federal congressional races. This is perhaps, and Scott Neely is with us, a candidate for governor in the Republican Party in the Republican primary coming up on August 2nd. So Scott's been listening to me say this, but
yes.
This is what my wife wanted us to do in terms of providing access and information. Scott Neely is with us today, candidate for governor in Arizona. And my bride, who could go from 0 to 60 in terms of anger in less than 5 seconds,
yeah,
she would be outraged by what's happening in the Republican Party today. Scott Neely and another candidate,
Paula Tulianizi,
have both been excluded from the next Republican debate being handled by the Republican Party in Arizona. Scott,
Arizona GOP, yeah.
The Arizona GOP. If you would confirm that for me and give me any background.
Yeah, so far Tulianizi and I have not been invited to the exclusive Arizona GOP debates that are going to be hosted by Kelly Ward. And we have reached out to her and we haven't heard back. And I think that's pretty shameful.
It is outrageous. I am angered in regard to this, and you will hear my anger expressed as we go through the program today and tomorrow and the day after that. This is beyond stupid. Correct me if I'm wrong, Scott Neely, but we have a party, the Republican Party, that complained in 2020 about the fact that the national media shut out the Hunter Biden story.
Yes.
So the reporting,
we were angry about that.
We were furious about that. We still are to this day. Here we have a situation akin to it. The party is excluding people who the voters have provided the signatures, and you and Paula Tulianizi should be in this debate. The voters signed your signature cards,
yes,
and you should be in this thing. It is an outrage.
It is an outrage. I received 10,457 petition signatures, which put me on the ballot for Arizona governor. And a funny thing is, the amount of votes that they say Donald Trump lost by was the same number, by 10,457 votes. They said that's what Biden beat Trump by in Arizona. That turns out to be the exact number of signatures I got. I believe it's divine intervention that those numbers line up. And I believe I'm a great candidate for governor. And I know that I should be able to be heard by the voters, and they should be able to know who I am. I go speak at LDs. I go speak at different conservative places all over the state, only to find out every time I get there that either one or two have heard of me or none of them have heard of me. And they're angry that they don't hear about me. They're wondering why such a great candidate for governor is not being spoken about or heard about by anybody in the party. They're just perplexed by it. News media leaves me out. Radio show hosts that are conservative leave me out. They say that there's only three candidates left for governor: Matt Salmon, Karen Taylor Robson, and Carrie Lake, because Gaynor stepped out of the race. They don't happen to mention Scott Neely for Arizona governor, and I think that's totally wrong.
It's on
CBS. Yeah. What was it? CBS Channel 5.
Yeah.
They mentioned that Gaynor dropped out of the race, and the only ones left were Karen Taylor Robson, Carrie Lake, Matt Salmon. Well, yeah. Where am I? I'm in there. So is Tuliani Z.
Yeah.
This is preposterous. How can you completely ignore candidates that made the ballot that the voters decided they want to put in the race? I'm in this race, and they just ignore me.
I find myself saying over and over again it's outrageous, and beginning to feel like it's insufficient to say it's outrageous, because words, you can't find the words to describe the magnitude of the injustice here. This is wrong on every level. From a voter standpoint, I, like my wife had said back in Florida, I want to know about all of these candidates. I don't want my party, and I'm a registered Republican, I don't want my party to exclude people who should be part of this process. You know, when you look at it in football,
yep.
We have a football team here in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be they had 45 people on the team. I think it's a little bit more than that now. But how many?
About 60.
60 now. But when you think about that, the Cardinals don't ask the best 20 people to come to camp. They bring in 90, 100 people to camp. They bring in the best people. So when they make the cuts, they've got the strongest roster that they can have. Well, what the Republican Party is doing here is it's essentially saying this is a rigged game. And number one, it's a rigged game. And number two, we're not going to let the cream rise to the top. We're going to kill it in the crib, for lack of a better expression.
I reached out to a lot of the different venues that were hosting, you know, debates or panels. I reached out to the Republican Women of Mesa, and was ignored. I reached out to America PAC and was told absolutely not. I could not be in that debate. That was the one that was hosted by, I believe, Steve Gaynor. And there's been many others since then as well that I've reached out to, and they just kind of ignore me, don't email me back, or say no, one or the other. But what they would say in the past was, well, you haven't made the ballot. That would be their argument. You haven't made the ballot, so we don't have to allow you into these debates because you haven't made the ballot. You haven't earned your way. And I said, well, okay, I gotcha. But what's funny is those candidates hadn't turned their signatures in to make the ballot either.
Yeah.
But they were the lead candidates because they're polling higher or whatever. So they said, you have to make the ballot. So I made the ballot. Then they said, well, you're not polling, and because you're not polling, we don't have to invite you to these debates, and these debates are held at private venues, and we don't have to allow you in these debates. And then they said, get polling and we'll talk. So I got polling. I got polling at 2%. So when Steve Gaynor dropped out, they gave him, I think, 4.5%, gave me 2%, Tuliani Z, 2.2%, something like that. So I was polling. So I said, hey, I'm polling. I'd like to be in these debates. They said, well, you're not polling high enough. Well, what is the bar? Where do I need to poll in order to be in a debate? I'm just curious because I don't know the number. Now, if they give me that number, then I'll work harder to poll there.
Well, I don't think there is a number, but the other thing that goes with that is if you were allowed into these events, you would be reaching more of the party activists.
And then I would actually poll higher.
And you would poll higher. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Now, there's something here, and it must be nobody reads newspapers anymore. because the Arizona Republican, I've been predicting this for a number of weeks now, and I said, you just wait, the Carrie Lake piece coming out. If you have not seen the Carrie Lake piece that the Arizona Republic did, I want to say it was last Thursday.
I haven't seen it.
Stacey Bartschenger was the reporter on it. They devoted a part of the front page, a full inside page, and then a half of a third page.
Oh,
this
that's
big. This was a major endeavor. I would encourage anybody who has not read that to go get it, azcentral.com. If you don't have a subscription, get one. It's the digital subscription is only about $10 a month. You need to read this. It is an indictment of Carrie Lake.
Well, I will definitely be going out and getting that information because I didn't even know that existed. I knew nothing about it till just now.
I will give you a copy. And then 2 days later came the revelation that the McCain family is fit to be tied with Carrie Lake.
Really?
Because Carrie Lake had apparently befriended the McCain family after John's death, invited them out to dinner, went to one of the son's houses, bought clothes for the baby, held the baby and things like that. And then she's out in recent days and weeks calling John McCain a loser. And criticizing John McCain, which, whether you are a McCain fan or not, John...
He's dead. John, he died. John, you got to respect the family.
He passed on, and whether you agreed with him on every issue or not, the fact of the matter, he served this country for a very long time.
Yes, he did.
And served Washington, served the nation, and served Arizona. And I had my disagreements with him. But I never doubted his integrity or his honor when it came to things. So to have the leading Republican candidate, who shouldn't be the leading Republican candidate, trashing John McCain is an outrage. That was the Saturday piece. The Thursday piece, I encourage everybody to go and get it and read it. And once you've read it, if you think Carrie Lake should still be a candidate for governor in Arizona, then you need to have your head examined.
Well, I've had a lot of people beating up on me on Facebook and Twitter quite a bit. And a lot of people say, well, I'm voting for Kerry. And I ask them, I go, why? Well, because Trump endorsed her. I said, well, okay. Well, what has she done? They said, well, I think one said to me today, well, she stands on her morals and principles and stands behind what she says she's going to do. And I'm like, what does that mean? I don't understand. That doesn't make any sense to me. What has she actually done?
Yeah.
She read a teleprompter for 27 years. That's about all I remember her doing. Outside of that, I don't remember her doing much else.
Well, that and the other thing is, if you, and here's another little experiment for people to do. Go to YouTube and just put in there, Carrie Lake, Arizona gubernatorial candidate. And you will see a number of different pieces. There's somebody from Channel 15 who is trying to ask her questions, and she's just deflecting and shutting him down. He asks her for an interview. She just deflects him, shuts him down. And she also attacks him for not singing the national anthem. This guy, and I don't know what the guy's name was, forgive me, but he was quick enough to say, I got a mask on. How could you tell whether I was singing or not? But the Arizona Republic has asked her multiple times to meet with the editorial board. She has not done it. They sent her a 36-page questionnaire, which she has not responded to as far as I know. And here's the thing that's outrageous. Again, you can have your disagreements with various different columnists at the Arizona Republic. But it's the Arizona Republic. It's the newspaper of record in the state. And if they ask you to sit with the editorial board, you should sit with them. Now, here's the other thing. How she got on this, I don't know, but she was on 60 Minutes Australia.
Yes, Australian 60 Minutes. I remember that.
And she's basically the whole time not engaging with the interviewer.
That was a setup interview, and it was perpetuated by Benny, the guy from the Benny Report from Newsmax. He set that whole thing up, that 60-minute interview, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Or if he didn't set it up, he at least put it on his podcast or whatever.
To help her.
To help her, yeah.
Yeah, well, it doesn't help her because when you see her basically antagonizing the guy with Australian 60 Minutes, and then
it was a pointless interview.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, here's the thing to me, Scott. We're going to have to take a break here in a moment, but help me with this. We've got, if you go south, we've got a border with Mexico.
Right.
That would be an issue, right? Am I right?
Yeah. Not an island in the middle of the ocean called Australia.
No. We have election reform and things like that.
Election integrity issues.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, what do I have in my hand here?
Bottle of water.
Yeah, we have.
We got water issues.
We got water issues here.
Yeah.
We've got prison issues here. Yeah. We've got crime issues here. We've got law enforcement.
Homelessness issues here.
Issues here. We got lots of stuff here, and that is a case of where the gold bricks who are running the Republican Party in the state, and you know what? I don't care about insulting them because right is right and wrong is wrong. And in this circumstance, every candidate that qualified for the ballot needs to be in those debates.
I agree, 100%.
And so when you look at all the issues and all she's doing is telling some guy from Australia and some guy from Channel 15 that you're just fake news, you know.
There was a pointless interview. There was no point in even having the interview. I read between the lines, though, of why she did the Australian 60 Minutes interview, because she's had a lot of people attack her on the fact that she voted for Obama twice and donated to him twice, and then her husband donated to him three times. She's had a lot of issues about that. And then she's had a lot of issues about the fact that she never voted for Trump, nor did she ever donate to him. So if you look up the FEC filings, she's never shown to ever donate a dime to Trump. So what she did on the Australian 60 Minutes interview was try to say that, yes, I voted for Trump three times in the primary and both generals, but what happened was they adjudicated my votes and took them away from me. Well, first of all, who contacts you to let you know that they've adjudicated your votes and taken them away from you? But that was her way to argue the fact that she actually never voted for Donald Trump. She never did.
Okay, well, to be investigated, but it just is deeply, deeply frustrating, because even if you strip all of that away, Scott, at the end of the day, we need a competent governor who knows the issues and is willing to, you hear the expression, speak truth to power.
Yeah.
Hey, Kerry, start with Trump.
Yeah.
This is the thing that just outrages me, because we've got real issues here.
Mm-hmm. We sure do.
And we don't need a national governor. We need a governor of Arizona who is here, and we need a Republican Party that you would think they've had enough controversy and enough questions raised about them. You would think that enough of that would have happened, but apparently not enough, and so they continue to operate in a heavy-handed way.
Yes.
Scott Neely is with us. I have blown through a commercial break. We will pick this up on the other side. But let me just remind people that if you're just joining us, Scott Neely is with us, Republican candidate for governor in Arizona. There is a debate coming up. What's the date of the debate?
There's one on June 13th, and there's one on June 18th. One of the debates is in Pima County. One of the debates is in Maricopa County.
Okay, and the one that you're excluded from is
both.
Both?
Yeah.
Okay. And
hosted by Kelly Ward of the AZ GOP and paid for by the Arizona GOP.
That it just is outrageous. We're talking about that, and then we're going to get into some issues with Scott, because this is a candidate who's not afraid to talk issues. And in fact, it's vitally important that these issues get addressed, because we got some really big problems. And one of those problems, Scott, is that even if we do have a red wave and we pick up the Senate and the House, we still got a Republican in the White House with a veto pen.
Yeah.
And the border issue is still going to be there. And that, from everything that I'm being told, gets worse by the day.
Yeah, it gets worse by the day. And if we have a rhino red wave, then we're not going to be much better off than, you know, what we got with Biden in the White House. So we don't need a rhino red wave, that's for sure. We need people that are competent and strong leaders that are willing to take on the hard issues like the border. You know, for example, I've been working on the border wall personally with my own two hands. I'm a concrete guy. I've been working on the footings of that wall for the past 17 years of my life. I know the border better than any candidate because I've seen miles and miles and miles and miles and miles of it from Nogales all the way to Yuma. And there's no candidate that knows where the high traffic areas are more than I do. And I want to put strategic National Guard, Arizona National Guard border barracks at these high traffic locations. I want to have these border barracks set up with technology that we can use to fight illegal immigration coming through these walls. I want them to assist the Border Patrol, because here's the thing. Biden's not going to hire more Border Patrol. He's not going to beef the border up. We got to do it from Arizona. We can't rely on them, but we can at least jump in there and do our part so we can at least make them more efficient with what they have, because unfortunately, Biden's not going to beef that up. He doesn't care. I don't know why. It really disheartens me badly in my heart and deep and in my soul that he would want to destroy the United States of America. And that's what I feel like Joe Biden is doing. I feel like he is purposely destroying my country, and I take that to heart.
Well, you and I are on the same page in regard to that, because on September 11th, many years ago, 19 hijackers who had overstayed visas flew planes into only because we had a group of people on the Shanksville, Pennsylvania flight. But only because of that, it was just three planes. It could have been four planes, and it could have been more dead. But the reality of it is they got here by overstaying student visas and other kinds of visas. With people coming into this country the way they are, I spoke with a state senator a couple of weeks ago, and he said, I got a call from the Border Patrol today. It is Russian Day in Yuma today.
Yep, they got their different days from different countries.
Yeah,
and they all come in groups.
Yeah, and so you with 155, 157 countries, however many it is. I mean, it's just remarkable, because it helped me with this. As I recall, the triangle countries and Mexico, it doesn't add up to 155.
No,
but it's they're here, and God knows, you want to talk about sleeper cells. God knows what we could wake up to some morning,
yes,
like we woke up to September
11th. Well, here's the thing. We're helping fund a proxy war in Ukraine, the Ukraine-Russia war. We're helping fund the Ukrainian side of that with weapons. And then on the Russian side, we're buying their fuel. I think we may have cut that back some, but we're probably still buying some from them. If there's Russians coming through our border, stands to reason that you would think maybe these Russians are here to do some serious damage to us. Because right now, we're helping fight a proxy war against their country. We're killing their soldiers. We're helping to kill their soldiers, if you think about it.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't they come in here and kill some of us?
And
that worries me.
It should. Say what you will about Putin, and he's deranged.
Yeah.
But at the very same time, former KGB officer, I can guarantee you he's working on another agenda. We are back with Scott Neely, candidate for governor in Arizona, right after the news. Good afternoon. Tuesday afternoon, Bill Brady on the Pulse of Arizona, 1100 KFNX. Republican gubernatorial candidate Scott Neely is with us this afternoon. If you are just joining us, and this is something that I will say to the state GOP, and I will say it to Donald Trump, as a Trump supporter.
I'm a Trump supporter as well.
In 2016 and in 2020, have a great agreement with many of his policies, but he is backing the wrong horse in this Arizona race.
He certainly is.
And he needs to cut the tow line on Kerry Lake, and we'll get into more of that. But this is not an issue I intend to let drop. I'm incensed by this. We got a beautiful state here. We've got a state that is productive economically, but we got some very serious issues to deal with in the next gubernatorial term, and we need serious people to do it. And Kerry Lake is not a serious person. I'm afraid Karen Robeson is not either. And we need serious people to be able to do this. Now, when Scott got here today, one of the things I asked him about, because I had heard about this, was the fact that there is a GOP debate coming up on June 13th.
13th and 18th. And in Pima County and Maricopa County.
And Scott has been excluded from that, as has
Paolo Tulianizi.
Paolo Tulianizi. And that, to me, is an outrage, because both of these people, their signature cards were signed. They are legally qualified candidates, and they should be in these debates. The idea that an autocratic head of the party here can exclude them, and that there is not an outrage over that. What's worse, Scott, and speak to me about this. What's worse is this is like the Hunter Biden moment.
In reverse
for the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. I look at this and I think, how is it possible that you're whining about Hunter Biden and you're whining about the corporate news media excluding the Hunter Biden story as reported by the New York Post back in 2020, and yet now we're trying to exclude legitimate candidates from the debates, and there's no reporting on it at all.
Listen, I am a competent, principled candidate with executive experience, managerial experience, and business experience. I own 3 companies right now, currently small businesses. I can't see how I couldn't be a better candidate for governor than Kerry, because she's never managed anything or anyone. She compares herself to Ronald Reagan. She says that, Ronald Reagan switched from Democrat to Republican. Well, that is true, but you're not Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan managed the Actors Guild. Yeah. Ronald Reagan had managerial and executive experience. He managed a lot of people. He proved himself with those skills, and those skills came in handy as president of the United States. She does not have those skills. That's why she will not debate me, and that's why I'm not being invited to these debates.
And you would think that, given that realization, that in what excluding the other candidates is meant to achieve, that the Republican Party would say, wait a second, if we've got somebody that we can only get into office by keeping the other candidates out, that is an indicator of the abject weakness of this candidacy.
In my opinion, that candidate cannot beat the Democrat Party. That's not a strong candidate. A candidate propped up that high is not a strong candidate. I could beat the Democrats. I could beat Katie Hobbs in a straight up election, November 8th. I could defeat her. But I've also heard that Marco Lopez might be the one. And if he is, I know I could defeat him. He says he's a small businessman. He has the nice hair comb over just like Gavin Newsom. I'd say he's the Mexican Gavin Newsom. That's what I would say. He looks like him. He's just a little browner. Seems like a nice guy, but I don't want a Gavin Newsom running my state, in this state of Arizona.
No.
I don't want us running into the ground.
Yeah.
And that's what he'd do. And that's what Katie Hobbs would do.
Well, and Katie Hobbs is this should be the Republicans' election to win with the correct candidate. Katie Hobbs is mortally wounded within her own party, and the handling of the state Senate employee that was fired and then won 2 lawsuits, Tamanya Adams, that particular case, I thought Katie Hobbs must have gone to school at the Hillary Clinton Institute of Incompetence.
Yep.
Because only Hillary Clinton would say, I'm going to answer that in a 3-minute video. Anybody with any character would have said, you know, bring the press in, and they would have been smart enough to say, mea culpa, I handled it wrong, I apologize to Ms. Adams, I made a mistake, but I've done a lot of good things in office, and please look at my full record, yada, yada, yada. But this is black political figures, the black political figures and civil rights people are not at all happy with
her. With Katie Hobbs.
And so she's a wounded candidate.
And Marco's rising.
And there's one other candidate I had here the other day. I do have to confess something. We get past 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I have a retention span of like 4.5 seconds. But we had somebody else here the other day, and I apologize because he made a very good appearance. But the thing is that from a Republican standpoint, this is wrong, and I am not at all happy about it as a Republican. We screamed about ignoring the Hunter Biden story, and here now we're ignoring two political candidates who should be in the debates. And
yes,
you know what?
Yes, we should.
You know what? If they're in the debate and they make your front runner look bad.
Too bad.
Pardon me.
Too bad.
F them.
Too bad.
Listen,
if I could get in these debates, I know I would do fantastic. Tuliani would as well. She's a very, very competent woman. She's a businesswoman, too.
Yep.
If I could get in these debates, I know I'm going to rise in the polls, and I think that's what they're afraid of. And they shouldn't be afraid, because why not have a competent, principled man like me run the state rather than a media superstar personality like Carrie Lake? We had Arnold Schwarzenegger run in California. What did he do? He was a precursor to Jerry Brown. He ran it in the ground. And then Newsom's only made it worse and compounded the problems over there. We do not need that here. We need a candidate who can fight for the people, for all the right things. Education is a huge one. The teachers, we need more teachers. I was at Mesa High just the other day, and I went to pick a bone with a teacher. An issue my son, who, you know, is a student at Mesa High, was having with a teacher. You know, he said the teacher's not putting in my homework and my testing stuff. And it's been 3 months, and she hasn't put it in. And my son's exact words were, she's a dumb ex-cheerleader. And I said, well, all right, there's that, son. Yeah. And English is his best subject. So I said, well, this isn't right. So I went to see a counselor. They call it an academic counselor. Turns out they have eight of those nowadays. They used to have two. Now they've got eight. And then they have four guidance counselors. And so after I got to the academic counselor, then the guidance counselor, then finally I got to the principal, he goes, yeah, I'm vice principal number five. And I'm like, what does that mean? And he goes, well, there's five vice principals here. I said, excuse me, there's five vice principals at Mesa High? He goes, yeah. I said, these are like $100,000 a year jobs. I said, if I'm Arizona governor, I'm sorry, Mesa High is going to have one vice principal, four of you are going away, and we're going to add some more teacher salary to that.
Absolutely.
This is ridiculous. They're building a three-story office at Mesa High for all their new administrators. They're probably going to add two more principals and have vice principals and have seven of them. How many vice principals do you need to run a school? And if you do, that's a major problem. That says a lot of negativity about you and how you run your school. His response to me was, well, Mesa High is a big school. I said, really, how big is it? He goes, 3,500 kids. I said, I graduated from a school that had 5,000 kids. We had one principal, one vice principal, one academic counselor, and two guidance counselors. And that's it. And we had a way bigger school than Mesa High. And yet it ran fine, and it was a distinguished school. It was a A-rated school of excellence. And yet we had no problems with less administrators. We had better teachers back then. I graduated 22 years ago. We had better teachers back then. I'm sorry. We need better teachers than we have today. We need more teachers, and we need to pay better to get better teachers. I'm sorry. And the only way to do it is to take the top-heavy administration money that we're paying out and take that and put it towards good teachers. Then we'd have better schools, right?
Absolutely. And you know why you need to be in that debate? Because somebody needs to say what you just said.
That's right.
Rather than showing their
five talking points or
well, rather
12
than
talking points
their,
or whatever it is.
Their obedience
to the system
and to the this needs to be said, because you know I worked for the big radio company.
Yeah.
In Florida. We put our budget in 1 year, and we did about $120 million in revenue,
yeah.
And we had the poor sense to ask for a few other things, and the CEO said to us, he said, are you people out of your mind? And I said, well, I don't think we're out of our mind. He said, hey, here's the deal. You take in $125 million, you spend 90 of it. Go take the 90 and figure out what your priorities are and stop freaking asking me for more money.
Yep.
But that's the same thing with Arizona. Even with what we're doing, we have a surplus.
Yeah.
And so the reality of the situation is we got to make sure that stuff gets to the classroom. The number of teachers were down. I can understand why we're down cops because of what happened in the last few years. But The number of teachers were down. The fact that we have lowered the standards to allow people who are substitutes not to have to have a college degree. Yeah. It just gets worse, and it's got a course.
Well, my son
correct.
That goes to Mesa High says, Tristan says, that by next year they're talking about having 40-kid classrooms. He's got about 35 in his now. 40-kid classrooms. Why? Because we're going to throw more Red for Ed money at the administrators so we can hire two more vice principals at Mesa High but not hire any more teachers? I mean, what the heck kind of preposterous stuff is this? This is ridiculous. Those are great-paying jobs they're giving out to those administrators, but they're not adding teachers, and they're not adding pay to the teachers.
It's got to get to the classroom. Scott Neely is with us, Republican candidate for governor. Scott and Paula Tuliani-Zen have both been excluded from upcoming Republican Party GOP debates. This is an outrage. I don't care whether you are a Scott Neely fan or a Paula Tuliani-Zen fan. In fact, you really haven't had a chance to become a fan of one of them because of the number of debates that have been canceled or because they've been excluded for these. You have, as a voter and a citizen of the state, you have every right to see them in these debates. A lot of people sign signature cards to get them in. This is an affront to people who have participated in the democratic process in the state to see candidates that they signed for being excluded. This has got to stop. It has got to change. I do not intend to get off of this subject, and I am going to make people's lives miserable because of this, because this is just plain wrong. We'll continue with Scott Neely in just a moment. Bill Brady on the Pulse of Arizona, 1100 KFNX. We are back. Bill Brady on the Pulse of Arizona, 1100 KFNX. Scott Neely is with us, Republican candidate for governor. I'm glad you're here today.
Hey, you may not have even heard of me.
Yeah, well.
You know, because the media doesn't like to talk about me too much. They got to keep me a secret. They want to keep me as Basement Biden, but I'm coming out of my box. I'm Jack, and I'm about to pop out of the box.
Very good. I'm glad you're here today, and I'm glad. Thank you for your candor on this issue. You know, I hear the Republicans, or actually I hear the Democrats talking about we need to preserve our democracy. A little of that ought to rub off on the state GOP and preserve our democracy, and let's start with including all of the qualified candidates in the debates. What are you afraid of?
Absolutely. A lot of the Republicans talk about election integrity, right?
Yeah.
And that's a big hot-button issue. Watermarks, this, that. They've mentioned all kinds of different things we could do to fix our elections, right? Here's a novel idea. Here's how we fix our elections. Allow all candidates to be known. Mm-hmm. Allow all candidates to be heard. And I think that'd be a good start, you know?
Well, it would, you know, when you think about it, if you go back to late last year or the early part of this year before the signatures had to be in, you could say there may have been some frivolous candidacies and you saw some people drop out and things like that because they couldn't get the signatures, they couldn't afford to get the people to get the signatures and things like that. But now people have the signatures. The signatures have been accepted, they've been verified.
That's right.
And we have legitimate candidates, and as far as I'm concerned, every legitimate candidate should be included in the debates.
Absolutely.
It's as simple as that.
And if I could be included in the debates and they asked me some tough questions, I'd answer them very well. I mean, I do better in Q&A actually than I do in speaking, because I don't like to talk about myself. I don't mind talking about issues, but I don't like to talk about myself. I'm just not that kind of guy. I do better with Q&A. So if somebody asks me a question, I do better with responding with a good answer. And I'm pretty quick to respond with really good answers that I think out as I respond. But as far as issues go, I know the issues. Homelessness, huge. I was down at Cass in downtown Phoenix, 12th Avenue in Madison. And I went down there and I parked on the sidewalk right next to the homeless shelter. And a cop pulls up and he goes, you know, you shouldn't be parked on the sidewalk. And I said, well, there's tents on the sidewalk. And he said, well, the city manager allows tents on the sidewalk. And I said, well, then see that truck, that white truck that says Neely for governor on it? He goes, yeah. I go, that's my tent. That's my tent. And that's where I sleep when I work 20-hour days. And that's not a lie. That's actually truthful. Yeah, I'm being truthful because I work some 20-hour days sometimes. Sometimes I got to pull over on the side of the road and sleep for half an hour. That's my tent.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to get out to me without saying it in a negative way. Hey, you parked in the wrong spot. Okay, I don't care that your tent's on that sidewalk, but you parked in the wrong spot. I didn't realize what he meant by that. He went down the road, turned around, kind of faced me, maybe about a half a mile down the road, and he was just kind of watching me, maybe with binoculars, I don't know. But I'm there, and I'm signing up voters. I got my table set out, Neely for Governor on the side. Got a lot of folks coming up to me, asking me what I'm doing. I'm like, well, I'm signing up people for voting, you know? And they're like, here? And I said, yeah, why not? Well, this just as good a place as any else. You know, if you're not signed up to vote, I'd like to sign you up to vote. So that's what I was doing. A couple hours went by. I had some mean people come rip up some of my literature, throw it on the ground, step on it, because they asked me, are you Democrat or Republican? I said, well, I'm a Republican. So some of them got mad, ripped stuff up, threw it on the ground, stepped on it. Some were on drugs. Some were crazy. There was all kinds of different personalities. I actually met some really smart guys there, too. But this one gentleman comes up to me, and he goes, Scott. He goes, your name's Scott, right? Yeah, I'm Scott. Scott Neely, I'm running for governor. He goes, that's really cool that you're out here, man. You know what? I got a lot of respect for you. He goes, but you don't know how this works out here, do you, Scott? And I said, well, what do you mean how this works? And he goes, it's prison rules. He goes, it's all segregated by tent section. And you just happen to park in the section that's black. And I said, well, I haven't noticed. And he goes, haven't you noticed most people are black right here? I said, well, I don't look at color. And he goes, man, I like you already, man. This gentleman, he's the head guy that runs that section of the tents. You know, they have like leaders. It's almost like prison, right?
Yeah.
So this gentleman gives me his phone number, his personal phone number. He's got a cell phone. He lives in the tents, but he's the leader of this section of the tents. Gives me his personal cell phone number. I gave him my personal cell phone number. He said, Scott, anytime you come back, you're welcome to park your truck on that part of the sidewalk. That belongs to you. Anytime you come back, you're welcome here. You're welcome to sit with us. You're welcome to register voters. I did feed some of the people. I gave them food because I could tell that some of them were hungry. I had brought Subway sandwiches. I fed a bunch of people that day. They were very thankful. I couldn't feed the whole camp, obviously. I'm not made of that kind of money. But I did what I could with what resources I have, and they were very thankful and have invited me to come back. And I spent 4 hours there that day. I don't know a candidate that's gone there longer than 5 minutes to take a picture. But I spent 4 hours of my day there. And we bounced ideas back and forth off each other about how we could solve homelessness. I have an idea of trade schools. They have an idea of they need shelter. That homeless shelter is not big enough to take care of them. That's why everybody's outside of the homeless shelter in tents. I said, well, maybe what we could do, we're bouncing ideas back and forth.
We just told you there, you're staying for the next hour.
Yeah.
Let's pick up with that story.
Okay,
sure. I'm up against a hard break for the news here. But it's a story I want you to be able to tell in fully.
Yes.
And we will do that when we come back. Scott Neely, candidate for governor in Arizona, is with us. Oh, by the way, did I mention the GOP has excluded him and Paula Tuliani-Zen from the next two debates? This needs to get undone, folks. It is news time at 6 o'clock KFNX.